Amen. Appreciate that. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 7. As we just read, verse 23, this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. That's the title of the message this morning and tonight. Backward and not forward. Father, I pray for your guidance as we look at your word this morning. And pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. Please speak to our hearts. Help us to go forward and not backward. Instead of backward and not forward, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Of course, we live back here in the just off the alley on College Avenue, and the alley, of course, coming through the church property, and our neighbors park on one side of the drive, and then we park on the other side, and often you can't get through that little alleyway there, and certainly we are allowed to do that. Everybody's allowed to do that, but sometimes my wife will be parked there and be the farthest south on our drive, and then the neighbors will all be lined on their drive, and then I have to come in. I have to park, and I'm facing south, but I have to come north, and the only way to do that is to back through the alley. And early in the mornings, many times I back through the alley. And a lot of times when it snows, I will have to back through the alley. Sometimes it's foggy and icy and ice on the mirrors and everything else, and I still have to back through the alley. I don't like to go out and scrape my windows, but obviously sometimes you have to if you don't start your car like you should and let it warm up and everything. But anyway, I still have to back through the alley. Now, I'm going to testify this morning, it is much, much easier to go forward than it is to go backward. I promise you. I've gotten in there, and it can be a little tight right around the fence there. Right, Brother Hollins? And it can be just a little bit tight right there. And sometimes the neighbor will have, he'll have his truck parked over there. And I mean, you back in there and the fence is there and his truck's there. And I'm backing through there and maybe didn't clean this mirror over here like I should have. And I promise you, it is so much easier to go forward than it is to go backward. No question about that. And, you know, we were made to go forward and not go backward. We really were. You know, that's why your reverse doesn't go quite as fast as your forward goes. And it's just much easier to go forward than it is to go backward. And it's that way in life. Growth naturally is, it is natural to grow. It is natural to, for example, a baby, it is natural for them to be born and then to, they start growing and they're soon they're able to roll over and we mark all that down. We're all excited, you know, oh, look, the baby rolled over and boy, that is something. And, you know, we may film all that film, you know what I mean. We may record all that. That's better. And then pretty soon, you know, little Poindexter is crawling. And oh, we're so excited when little Poindexter can crawl. And oh, isn't that cute? Little Poindexter's crawling. We're so excited. And then next thing, a little Poindexter is starting to walk. And, you know, he'll take a few steps. And it's always hilarious to watch because he, you know, teeters and totters. And pretty soon he falls down. That's why they make those diapers so thick. Just so the little Poindexter can learn how to walk. And, oh, we're so excited about that. And, you know, you know, obviously they walk and eventually run and all that, and then they're into everything, and it's exciting. But growth is natural. We expect that. That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, little Throckmorton is born and, you know, just kind of makes all these weird noises, cooing and crying and sometimes screaming and sometimes goo-gooing and all that kind of stuff. And eventually, though, being a very intelligent child, little Throckmorton says, Dada. How many of you, they said Dada first. You remember that? I remember it specifically. It was first. No question about that. Dada. And Dada is a lot easier to say than Mama. But boy, then afterwards, once Mama is said and once they know who Mama is, it's always Mama. And it's not very often Dada unless they want money. But But anyway, it's just natural. It's a normal thing. Eventually, you know, I mean, at first they can't talk, and then they learn how to talk, and they learn too well how to talk. And eventually they're talking and they're giving speeches and all that kind of stuff. And that is what we expect out of them. We expect that because that is called growth. And it is called going forward. Of course, school is a perfect picture of that. We just had graduations. Of course, Kayla, we're very proud of you. And anyway, we just had all these graduations and everything. But it didn't start there. It started in maybe K-4 or K-5. And, you know, they learned their ABCs, and they learned how to count to 10, and they learned how to count by 2s to 100, and count by 5s to 2,000 and whatever. And they learn all of that, and of course the grades, they reflect how well they're growing, how well they're going forward. You go from first grade, and next year you're in second grade, then you're going to have a new battery of lessons and tests to take so that you can grow, so that eventually you become a nuclear physicist and you can do all that kind of work and everything else. But we don't expect that out of you when you are in second grade, all right? But we do expect you to grow, correct? I mean, that's what we expect. That is what everybody thinks is the way it's supposed to be. You're born and you grow. It's just the natural thing to do. And let me just say this. It is the natural thing for a Christian as well. God likens us to the birth of a baby. He says you must be born again. And all of us here, most of us anyway, if you're saved, you recognize the terminology of being born again. You must be born again. You must be born into the family of God. And just like any birth, when you start out, you're a little baby. You don't know everything. You don't have it all figured out. You're kind of goo-gooing and gag-gaying through the church service. You're kind of, I hope you're not gagging through the church service, but, you know, But you're everything's new to you. I remember so clearly when I first got saved and started going to church, it was all new to me. This isn't what I'm used to. I didn't grow up this way, and I had to learn those kinds of things. And it is natural, though, to start out as a new Christian. You start out getting saved, and then you get baptized, and then you come to church, and you come to church more often, and you grow. That is the natural process, and it is what is expected. Amen? It's the way it should be. It's called going forward. In Hebrews 6 and verse 1, go ahead and turn there. Keep your place in Jeremiah. We'll make some references here. But Hebrews 6, and I love this passage of Scripture as a challenge as a Christian. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. He says this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, he's just saying, okay, you're saved, and you know how to be saved, and you've learned that, and you should keep going over that and reviewing that and talking about that and never forget that. But he says, now we need to go on unto perfection. He says, I want you to grow. I've got some more things I want to teach you. I want to show you how to live by faith. I want to show you how to learn how to trust me. And God says, I want you to go on. I've got something for you to do. If a child doesn't ever walk, if a child doesn't ever speak intelligently, we say there's something wrong. We say, boy, this is just not right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Certainly that does happen sometimes. If a child doesn't eventually learn how to roll over or crawl or walk or run, we say, you know, this is abnormal. There's something wrong. We take them to a doctor and we try to find out what is wrong. But you know, if a Christian doesn't grow, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. Just as wrong as if a child never grows. Just as wrong as if your child is in third grade and they just can't seem to get it, and you say, you know, I don't understand why they're not getting this material. You take them somewhere and you have them an assessment done to find out, okay, what is wrong? Because we expect them, okay, they're this age, they ought to be able to do this kind of work. And we say, what is wrong with that? And we try to figure it out, and we're concerned about it. I'm amazed how many Christians, though, are not concerned when they've been saved for a while and they seem to be going backward instead of forward. Backward and not forward. Now, Jeremiah talks about that, and he's concerned about that. And that's exactly what he's talking about here in the book of Jeremiah. In fact, verse after verse after verse is, you know, God expects something out of you, and it's not happening in your life, and he's going to deal with you. That's really what it's all about. God is going to deal with you. By the way, I believe that's what God's telling us in America. You know, he expects us to go forward. And sad to say, Christianity is going backward and not forward. And there's only one reason for that. It's because Christians are going backward and not forward. God's people. You know, we're supposed to get saved. Get baptized. By the way, when you're saved, it's a whole new world to you, like a little baby. I mean, honestly, it's so fun to watch new converts and see them get excited. You know, it's so exciting. And then they get baptized. And then they start coming to church. And then they hear a message on tithing. And it's like, how much? I remember thinking, what? How could I live? You know, now it's so different after all these years of giving. You know, it's like, how could I not? Honestly, I can't even imagine not giving. And but you have to grow. And a new convert doesn't understand that, where somebody who's been saved and they've just been naturally growing, I mean, it's no different than the things in 10th grade that a 10th grader understands, that a 4th grader just says, what? They don't get it. It's all the same thing because it's natural. And we look at that 10th grader and say, you're supposed to know 10th grade material. And 4th grader, you're supposed to know 4th grade material. But as Christians, it's amazing how we'll settle for, oh well. And we don't think there's something wrong. I got news for you. There is something wrong if you're not going forward. Because if you're not going forward, you're going backward and not forward. And that's the trouble that we're faced. Now see, here's what happened. God's people were headed for trouble. There's no question about that. In chapter 7, verse 23, notice what he said. He said, this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. God said, obey my voice. Now, I know we don't hear preaching about that nowadays. It's just, you know, nobody wants to talk about that. It's not popular. But it is what God said. And he said, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Now, that doesn't sound so hard, but in reality, it says, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways I've commanded you. What's he saying? He said, you obey me and go forward. Walk in the ways I command. Go forward. I've got something for you to do. I've got a place for you to be. I've got goals for you to accomplish. I've got blessings all along the way. I've got a will for your life. I've got something for you, God says. But you got to go forward. You know why so many Christians, honestly, there are people absolutely miserable today because you just haven't gone forward. God says, I have something. And it all comes down to that word, obey. He said, I want you to obey. But verse 24 says, they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. That means they didn't want to hear it. But they walked in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart, their own heart. Honestly, it sounds so much like today. Well, here's how I feel. Where's that coming from? Out of the abundance of the heart. That's where it comes from. And so they went backward and not forward. How sad. That is not normal. That is not God's plan. And that's not the best thing for us at all, ever. It is abnormal to go backward. It's also harder to go backward. It's also not right to go backward. It is not God's plan for us to go backward. You get saved, you get baptized, you get involved in church, you grow, you grow, you grow, you grow, you grow. My growth, it was at an altar. My growth, it was on my knees. My growth, it was in the Word of God. And you grow, and you grow, and you grow. Until one day, God takes you home. That's normal. That's how it's supposed to be. Backward and not forward. God said, this is not best for you. So he said in verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you my servants, the prophets. He said, I sent preachers to you daily, rising up early and sending them. He said, I sent preachers to you to try to tell you, hey, you're supposed to grow. You're supposed to go on. You're supposed to move forward. The whole trip out of Egypt was a trip of moving forward, but the whole time, God's people kept looking back. The whole time. Oh, we hate Egypt, but boy, I'll tell you, we miss those melons. We hated the whip of the taskmaster, but boy, I'll tell you what, I sure miss the leeks. Oh, if I could just have an Egyptian melon. And God says, no. He says, go forward. There's nothing in Egypt for you. Go forward. Canaan's forward. Promised land is forward. Go forward, God says. But they went backward and not forward. And the prophets preached in verse 26 says, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. The word backslide, backslidden, or some form of it is used over and over and over in Jeremiah and throughout the Bible. And also throughout the Bible, there are examples of what we are turning from instead of going to when we decide that we'll go backward and not forward. And I want to bring that to you this morning and tonight because I had several points and I couldn't do it just in one service. So I want you to think about these things. Where are you spiritually? Again, I can't make that. I don't know what the chart says. I don't know where everybody's supposed to be. I have an idea where I'm supposed to be. I'm not sure where you're supposed to be. I have an idea where my wife should be. And by the way, that's what a husband does. Amen. And if you have small children, you ought to have some idea where they should be. But my point is, where are you today? And I want to show you these examples in Scripture of what we're turning from. And this is what's amazing to me because there are examples of people doing it in the Bible. And we know these stories. These aren't new stories here. But I want you to think of it as the idea that you're going backward and not forward. Okay, if I turn from this thing, then I'm obviously going away from it. And it's something that is supposed to be in my life. Number one is turning from worshiping God. Turning from worshiping God. Our example here is Israel. Great example. In fact, the Old Testament, read it. It's what it's all about. Jeremiah 2 and verse 27, turning from worshiping God. Jeremiah 2 and verse 27. Go ahead and turn there. Just go back a few pages. Saying to a stock, thou art my father. What's a stock? It's a chunk of wood. Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. And so they say to a chunk of wood, you're my father. They say to a stone, you've brought me forth. What is that? It's idolatry. That's worshiping some sort of an image. Some kind of an image carved out of wood or carved out of stone. And saying to that image, that idol, that you're my God. Well, except until they get in trouble. You say, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad we don't do that. Come on, we do that. We do. And so many turn from worshiping God to worshiping something. They've turned their back to God and no longer faced him. And then when we get in trouble, we say, oh, by the way, World War II, World War I, the Civil War, Revolutionary War, people just turned, they begged God, please, God, oh, God, we've got to have your help. So many turned to God. So many faced God, oh, God, help us. But again, the Twin Towers go down 10 years ago, and understand how people didn't know what to do, and so many would sing, God bless America, and now they're outlawing God bless America. Why? Because we turned to some idol. Money? Is it money? Is it great, 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 I don't know how many greats to include in there. Grandpa, who's an ape? Is that who we've turned to? Because man is the measure of all things, and that's where we came from. What an insult. What an insult to God Almighty who created us. But it's like we just don't want to worship God anymore. There's other things to worship. There's other things to do. It's like a service like we're having here today where in the song service we don't even think about him. We just kind of sing the song because everybody sings the song. I know that song. And so I just kind of sing it instead of thinking about God, you're so wonderful. We're not worshiping him. And I'm talking about giving him the glory that is due to him. And that has not come about by accident. That's come about on purpose. Satan has always tried to take our worship away from God. We are more concerned song-wise with how it makes us feel than what it says about God. Hello? We want to know, what's it make me feel? Do you know what that is? That is you worship instead of God worship. That's all it is. I don't really like that, and we'll hear this sometime. The song service at Berean, it doesn't make me feel. I'll tell you what, the songs that we just sang a little while ago, I'll tell you, I wonder how it made him feel. Isn't that what it's all about? You better believe it is. Yeah, amen. But see, again, we're turning from worshiping God. And we're going to go worship great, 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 the big ape. Huh? Amen. We turn from worshiping God when prayer is only asking. That's all it is. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Instead of God, you're so wonderful. God, you're so great. What can I give you, God? God, I'd sure like to see you heal somebody. God, I'd sure like you to touch Brother Naaman Click's lungs. You're so wonderful, God. God, I'd sure like to see you heal Jack Hintz. Amen. But see, we don't want to praise God. We want to say, God, I've got to have some money. God, I've got to have this. I've got to have that. God, you owe me. Yeah. Turning from worshiping God. Do you know what the offering service is? You say, preacher, this sounds like a Sunday night message. Well, I told you it's kind of a two-parter. It bleeds into each other. But do you know what offering time is? Did you know that's a worship time? Offering is, it's a worship time. It's bringing the tithes and offerings to the Lord in worship to him. That's what it's all about. It's not about paying the bills. The bills can get paid if the money comes in, but that's not what it's about. It's all about worshiping God. I get to give this. God gave me income so that I can do this. Wow, God. Thank you for my job. Now, I know that's not popular, is it? It's real popular when you don't have one. My wife and I were talking about my days at RCA and when I got laid off and everything, and how I still can vividly remember those men standing in line for just a few jobs that were open in Marion, Indiana, back in the mid-70s. And I remember those grown men standing in line with tears streaming down. I've got to get this job. I have to get this job. If I don't get this job, I'm losing everything I have. I have to get this job. And those same men, a year after they got the job, complaining about how many breaks they got. Isn't that us? It is us. There's folks right now, you're begging God, you've got to have a job. You are going to, if you don't get a job soon, you're going to lose everything you have. And you know, God will give you a job, and then a year later you'll complain about that job, maybe a week after. And all of a sudden, it'll be complaining about that job. See, I'm sure glad you got off tithing. I thought I'd come back to it. You know, all I'm going to say about it is this, the tithe is the Lord's. And our worship to Him is saying, God, You're so good. You let me have 90% of this. Wow. You, God, You have allowed me to live on this earth and breathe this air and eat the food that I eat and drink the water and enjoy the beauty of the sunshine and for a couple of weeks in Michigan and enjoy the trees and everything here on this earth. And You let me keep 90%. Well, God doesn't need my money. You know, it isn't yours. Wow. But I know, but here's why the attitude's the way it is. Because we're turning from worshiping God. Jesus said this. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Listen to me now. Spirit, what's that? That's not flesh. Amen. It's not flesh. It's spirit. It's my spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in me should control my spirit in my worship to God. It has nothing to do with my flesh. Well, I just don't feel good. Thank you. That's a good illustration of not feeling good. But you know what? It has nothing to do with it. Has absolutely nothing to do with it. Some of the best praises I've heard is somebody who's on their deathbed dying of cancer or some other disease, and they're just praising the Lord, and they don't feel good. But it isn't about how they feel. It's not about them. It's all about Him. Amen. But we've turned from that. We're thinking different. Worship in spirit and truth. Truth is not whatever we want, but whatever He says. That's their problem in Jeremiah. You wouldn't obey my word. Truth is what He says, not what we want. Who tried that? Cain. Cain tried to do it all on his own, tried to figure it out himself. He thought, you know, I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God. That's why we have people with home worship today. Don't get mad. It's okay. This is just the first point. I mean, if we're not going to get along on the first point, we're headed for trouble. Well, you're here today, so you must not believe in that. Home worship is very popular today. You know, well, we'll just stay home and worship God. By the way, can you worship God at home? Sure you can. But He said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's churching. Churching. Assembling is churching. Churching. We need church. Amen? And that's what it's all about. And besides that, He died for the church. Amen. But we got a lot of folks with, you know, this idea, well, we can just stay home, worship God, just same thing. And it's because we've turned from worshiping God, God's way. God, what is your way? What do you want me to do, God? You want me to stay home and worship you? Yeah, you worship me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at home. And Sunday when you get home from church, you can worship me more. But you go to church, you assemble together. He said we need to do that. Amen. The idea of skipping church. We need to be in church. When the church assembles, we need to be there. By the way, if you were in trouble, you would be. It's how it is. It always has been. During the wartime, that's people met. I mean, hey, we got to get in church. Why? We're in trouble. But see, we got things. We have our chunk of metal in our garage. We have our chunk of wood on our property. Right? And we got it so good. Too good. Yeah. Cain said, I'm going to worship God my way. I'm going to bring the first fruits of my field. God told him, I promise you this, God told Adam, and Adam passed the word on, there has to be blood. Cain said, I'm going to do it my way. That's the way so many are. That's why I refer to Burger King churches, because it's have it your way. We have something to make you feel good. We have something to make you feel happy. We have something that you'll like. No doubt about it. It's not ever been about what man likes or about what makes man happy. It's all about what makes him happy. But again, we've turned from worshiping God. Now you think about in your own life, how you doing? You know? We ignore him all week long, and then we get in trouble. That's exactly what they did. We're turning from worshiping God. Number two is turning from the Word of God. Turning from the Word of God. Verse 23, so clear about Israel here. He says, this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, I'll be your God, ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And they weren't interested in that. Look at Saul, 1 Samuel 15, verse 11. Back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 11. See why I made this two parts? You don't? 1 Samuel 15, verse 11, the Bible says, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back, there it is, from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, he cried unto the Lord all night. And here Saul is turning from the Word of God. He had not performed what I said. He didn't do it. I can assure you of this, folks. Without the Word of God, you will not grow. You will not grow. It is not possible. 1 Peter 2, look at it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Way back. We're going all over the place. Isn't that good? 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Without the Word of God, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Oh, listen to me. If we turn from the Word of God, we cannot grow. It is impossible. Just like a little baby needs milk to grow, we need the Word of God to grow. That's why all our Sunday school class, it's not playtime. It's Word of God time. That's why Vacation Bible School, there's a lot of play that goes on. And there's a lot of silliness that goes on. But I promise you this, the Word of God is being taught and it's being memorized by children. Why? Because they have to have the Word of God to grow. Otherwise, we don't grow. We go backward and not forward. Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Every word. We've got to have it. We cannot just say, well, you know, I think this version is better. I think that version. Listen, there's a version of the month club that you can join now. And you just kind of, or how about the pick a version group? Whatever fits you, just pick a version that you like. Though there we are again, that we like. We have the Word of God, but we're turning from it, and we go backward and not forward. By the way, there are a lot of folks here, you believe the King James Bible only, but you don't read it. You know, it doesn't do a bit of good that you believe it if you never read it. Then there's a whole bunch of folks who believe the King James Bible, and that's what you have, and that's even what you read, but you don't obey it. Doesn't do any good either. Right? What's it called? It's called backsliding or turning from the Word of God. We have number one, we have turning from worshiping God. We have number two, turning from the Word of God and shown to us by Saul and certainly many others. Number three, we have turning from wanting God. Turning from wanting God. Oh, you know, I mean, I can make it on my own. Church at Ephesus is our example, Revelation 2, verse 4. Revelation 2 and verse 4, and certainly we could have gone to many examples for all of these. Revelation 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Turning from wanting God. left your first love. That first love, that's an exciting love. It's an expecting love. It's an extraordinary kind of love. It really is. Brandon and I get talking about when we met. We just recently were talking about all this. I don't remember why that came up. Might have been looking for the letters, thinking about that again. But, you know, the letters. But it's so exciting to talk about that first love. You know, I remember when I first saw her. And, I mean, it was love at first sight. No question about it. And I've written her poems describing that whole thing. But you know, it's really interesting. I think back to that and I think, he was such an immature little punk compared to the guy today that loves her even more. I don't have to reach back. I just look at her. Remember when you first got saved? It's like God loves me. He died for me. He was beaten to a bloody pulp for me. He was hung on a cross in the eyes of all mankind. People cursing, spit was dripping off of him. And he did all that for me. God, I want to get to know you. Adam and Eve in the garden every day. What'd they do? They met with God there in the garden. Every day till they sinned. And what are they doing now? They're hiding from God. What'd they do? They turned from wanting God. How sad that there was a time that we wanted him and now we don't so much want him like we did. Remember, you'd get up real early in the morning, read your Bible, spend some time in prayer. Remember your break at work? You were a new Christian. You heard somebody say it and you decide, you know what, I'm gonna read my Bible during my break. That ought to be good. And you were so, but see, now you don't even take your Bible to work. Somebody made fun of you. Somebody laughed at you. Remember you took some time out and spent a little time in prayer. You prayed for your meal. You thanked God. You really thanked him for it. It wasn't just words that you said. Remember? Because you wanted God. You wanted something to happen. Remember when things did happen? Wow, and it was so exciting, and you wanted that. But here's what he said. He said, well, you left that first love because you went backward and not forward. Do you understand that when we die, we should be closer to him than any time of our lives? Amen. I've been with some folks when they died. I'll tell you, if you're with a godly person when they die, it's amazing the difference. It really is. It's like, I remember, boy, so many times, eyes open and they see someone. Amen. And a big smile. Oh, there he is. I've had people tell me, I the other day I saw a couple angels in here. And I saw Jesus. You say, preacher, you don't really believe. Yeah, they just want God. But when you turn from that, it just doesn't seem as exciting. Do you understand, folks? We make time for what we want to. Amen. When Brenda and I were dating, I remember the schedule was unbelievable. It really was. She lived 45 minutes away, and I'd go to school 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd go to school till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd work until 7 o'clock in the evening. I mean, go to work till 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. Then I'd drive 45 minutes to have a date with her. I remember it many times. I remember we'd go out to eat. She'd get off work at Burger Chef, and then we'd walk right next door and eat at McDonald's. I feel bad about that now, but we would eat and just spend a little time together, and then I'd drive home 45 minutes driving home, and I'd go to bed usually about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then do the same thing the next day, and sit in class. Anyway, but. Wow. But you make time, don't you? You will make time to go to our ball game. Right? Oh, got to go to the ball game. But that's because we want something. We want to see something. We want to experience something. Remember when you wanted God that bad? That's what I'm talking about. So excited when you first got saved and you wanted more. You wouldn't miss anything. But you've turned away. You've gone backward, not forward. And Christianity's kind of... just not so exciting anymore. By the way, here's a little hint as to why. And then I just have one more point. Matthew 24:12. Look at it. You ought to write this down. Just kind of ran into this verse. Don't think I've ever preached on it. I know I've read it before. Talking about the end times. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why? Maybe you sit here today and you say, you know, I used to love God like that, and I used to want God like that, but I don't know what happened, preacher, and I'll have him come in sometime. What do you think happened? God tells us what happened right here, because iniquity shall abound. That's sin in our lives. Because we like our sin. And we like our sin more than we love our God. And so we go backward and not forward. Turning from worshiping God, turning from the Word of God, turning from wanting God, and then the last thing this morning, number four, turning from waiting for God. Turning from waiting for God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, that is old-fashioned. In our day, we can have it now. Come on, we complain because when we get on the internet, it takes forever. And we've forgotten the old beep, 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 or whatever the sound is. We've forgotten that, haven't we? That wasn't a good example, but it's because I didn't do it very much. But remember how long it took? We complained, this computer's too slow! We forgot our Commodore 64s. We bang our mouse. What's wrong with this thing? Right? That's our society. Everything's... And so you know what we've done as Christians? We aren't willing to wait on Him. It's killing us. Honestly, it is killing us. I could have chosen many examples, but I chose the prodigal son. In Luke 15, could have chosen him for several things. But Luke 15, I think the biggest thing, really, is he just didn't want to wait. Luke 15 and verse 12, and I hope you get this, because this is the last point this morning, even though I told Jamie Pearson I was going to add one, but I'm not. Go ahead and say amen. Amen. Thank you. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. By the way, this is the younger of the two sons. It wasn't time to divide the living. It wasn't time to give him what came to him. It wasn't time for him to get his inheritance. But he said, I want to wait. I want it now. I've got to have it now. I want what you owe me, Father, and I want it now. And that's where the prodigal's problems all started. He didn't want to wait. He didn't want to wait. He said, I'm ready now. Give it to me now. You owe me this. I want it now. Children of Israel are a good example of this too. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Great example of this same thing. Exodus 32 verse 1. Moses is walking with God, having an unbelievable time. And children of Israel... Chapter 32, verse 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. By the way, why did Moses delay? God wasn't done. Wasn't time yet. Are you listening? It wasn't time yet. You know why so many folks are in trouble today? Because you didn't wait. That's why. You know why there's so much divorce? Because people didn't wait. They just didn't wait till it was the right time. Amen. And they saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. Wait a minute, what about the God that just led you? What about the God that parted the Red Sea? What about the God that got you out of Egypt? What about that God? Oh, no, 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 we don't have time. We don't have time. We got to hurry, 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 hurry. I got my mouse in my hand. It won't go fast enough for me. My car's not fast enough. Nothing's fast enough. Come on, we got to hurry. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. In verse 8, they've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made a molten calf, worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. But he said this in verse 8, he said, they've turned aside quickly. They've turned aside. Turning from waiting for God. Remember, the pillar of cloud moved? Pillar of fire moved? They moved. Everything was dependent on what God did. Everything, okay, God says, here's okay, make this step, do this. That's what you do. Don't get ahead. Don't get behind. You'll cross the Red Sea on dry ground. Well, I don't understand what Moses has taken so long doing. This is not our timing. This is not what I planned. Does that all sound familiar? We need to do things our way. That's why so many marry wrong. Huh? Amen. We're seeing it. We're in such a hurry. You know? Or instead of marrying, they go ahead and live together. Which, by the way, that's not even a trial of marriage. It's not even a cheap imitation of marriage. It's the most selfish thing in all the world. People living together, it's very selfish. Totally out of hell. Not of God. More people ought to preach against it, but we're afraid we might make somebody mad that's sitting in the service that's living together. I'm just trying to help people, to be honest with you. It's out of hell. You want to see it? Go out to a farm somewhere and watch the barnyard for a little while, and you'll see living together. Look, it's the last point, folks. Here, people marry wrong, people spend wrong because they won't wait on God. When's the last time you prayed for a deal instead of just go out and buy the thing? Spend wrong. Yeah. Move wrong. Yeah. Yeah. All because we won't wait on God. Just wait on God. You know, the prodigal, here's the thing about the prodigal. I am so close to being done. If you look intelligent, we'll be done soon. You're in trouble. The front is scary. Look, listen. Think about the prodigal, okay? Here's the thing with the prodigal. Okay, all that money that he got, his inheritance, timing was just wrong. He wasn't ready to handle that. Okay, give your 10-year-old their inheritance now. Give your 15-year-old their inheritance now. Timing's wrong. Timing's wrong. Give your 31-year-old your inheritance. You can have all the bills, son. Look, it just, honestly, he spent everything foolishly. But let him grow up some. You know, let him go off to college and learn some things that require. Let him learn how to get up in the morning and go to work. Let him learn how to hold down that job for a while, and let him learn how to pay some of his bills. Let him learn how to pay rent if he's over 18. And help pay for some of the bills instead of, I don't want to run them off. Well, bless your pea-picking heart. What if you die and they don't have a clue of what to do? Let them grow up. And if the prodigal could have just some time. You know, young people have, and I pointed a young person. There's several here. They have a lot of foolishness to grow out of, don't you think? Just a lot of foolishness to grow out of. Time is so important. The world is wanting teenagers to have a sexual relationship. Well, I say the world. Satan is wanting teenagers because he's wanting them to ruin their lives instead of waiting. Waiting. Oh, preacher, you're so old-fashioned. Thank you. I am. When we wait, we grow so that we're ready for the right time. Amen. You name it, any subject, we grow so we're ready for the right time. God's all about timing. When the fullness of the time was got to come, God sent forth his son. When was Jesus born? When it was the right time. Not too soon, not too late. Perfect. Joseph waited. Joseph wasn't lucky to be second in command to Pharaoh. He waited. That meant he had to go to jail. That meant he had to be in a pit for a while. Huh? Then he had to go to jail for a crime he did not commit. Huh? He had to be in jail, and he had to sit in jail for a while. He just waited. Huh? Daniel had to wait. He's taken captive from his home, his family, everything he's ever known, and he just had to wait and trust God. And God used him in a great way. Hezekiah had to wait. God had the materials all worked out. God had everything worked out for the walls to be built around Jerusalem. But Hezekiah had to wait. What if Hezekiah gets 2 years ahead of time? Well, he doesn't have the timber that the king gave. Huh? You know why so many folks are in a mess today? Because we've turned from waiting for God. We are just in too big of a hurry. In the book of Acts, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. The result was Pentecost. 3,000 saved. How many miracles are we missing out on because we refuse to wait? Huh? Told the prophet, the rustling of the leaves. Wait for the rustling. Ah, I can go do it myself. No. Wait. Wait for the when the leaves rustle, then you'll have your victory. Hey, disciples, listen to me. Wait for the promise of the Father. Yeah, but we can figure it out ourselves. We've got our own plan. We've got the. Listen to me. Wait. And you know, we're missing out on so many things because we go backward and not forward. Four things. I think they're crucial things. We are turning from worshiping God, turning from the Word of God, turning from wanting God, and turning from waiting for God. What's that mean? Well, we're going backward and not forward. And that means we're backslidden. If any of these things are true in your life, I beg you, turn around. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one talking. Everyone, heads bowed, eyes closed. How many today would say, preacher, I'm not even saved. If I were to die right now, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. I want to pray for you. We won't come get you. Nobody will embarrass you. You say, please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Hands are already up. God bless you. Thank you. Father, bless our invitation. We do pray for your will to be done in our lives. Please, please help us to go forward and not backward. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.